high-speed train, that's G108, urged passengers with standing tickets to get off at Changzhou North Railway Station recently, sparking inquiries about the train's carrying capacity. Well, high-speed rail is, needless to say, much faster than the traditional trains, often bearing green paint here in China. When there are too many passengers on board, how well can they perform? And yeah, Lai Ming, I'll go to you for a little bit of explainer duty.
All right, ask the southerner who just had a lot of trouble traveling home and traveling back to Beijing, huh?
We're lucky to have you back, by the sound of it.
You're lucky to have me back. I was lucky to have gotten a plane ticket back to Beijing. But yes, I had a little struggle getting the ticket back from my hometown in Jiangxi province to Beijing. I think I remember getting the ticket back to Jiangxi province early September. I made a plan to travel home during the October National Day holiday, 7-day holiday. So I got the ticket back to Jiangxi province early in September. Right at the moment, I started fighting for a ticket coming from Jiangxi province back to Beijing. That was early September. And I used a software that Niu Hongling introduced to me.
She knows all the right apps.
Yeah. It was a very smart app. I can see the logic behind it. So basically, you pay the application or the company behind it some money, some extra money, for them to sort of get the ticket for you. It's a very smart system. Every 6 seconds, they check the system and see whether there's vacant tickets available. Mm. And so I actually paid attention to how many times the software worked for me. It turns out the software tried more than 300,000 times.
300,000 wow. times.
Every 6 seconds.
Oh,
they
wow.
would give it a try, give it a shot, and see whether there's vacant tickets available. And apparently the software worked more than 300,000 times from early September up until October the 5th.
And
I was looking for a ticket on October the 6th, but I wasn't able to get it after more than 300,000 times.
Wow.
So after so many tries done by a little machine,
uh-huh.
you still failed to get the ticket.
I still failed to get a ticket back from Jiangxi province to Beijing.
I wonder if there are other faster apps out there then.
I don't think so. Because every 6 seconds is it's supposed to be a very smart system.
Yeah.
We also, because we were locals, my dad contacted a local retailer who was in charge of selling train tickets and hoping for him to sort of get two tickets for me and my wife. But even though they wasn't able to get the ticket. So, well, at least we have certainty. We couldn't get tickets one of those days during, around the end of the National Day holiday. Apparently, I wasn't alone. So it seems on October the 1st, when the G108 train arrived at Changzhou North Station, the train was overloaded. The train conductor had to make an announcement urging passengers to use short-distance tickets instead of full tickets to get off the train. So what happened essentially with the G108 train? Well, it happened on October the 1st. I was assuming, I assume people were traveling home for the holiday, but still, there's a lot of people wanted to travel. And for people who want to get tickets, there are many ways. For instance, using the application Niu Niu Hong Ling introduced, that was the plan for me. But for other people, for instance, say people who want to go from A to Z, somehow they can't get ticket. So some of them, in this case, they get ticket from A to B. Hopefully, when they go beyond B, the conductors would ask them to sort of pay for the extra stops along mm-hmm. the way. That was their plan, to ultimately get to Z.
Mm-hmm.
And what the problem is, a lot of people made that plan. They chose to stay on the train. That makes it very hard for passengers who wanted to go from B to Z, because they didn't get off at B.
Yeah.
At a B stop. And therefore, the train was too congested to accommodate people who bought the ticket from B to Z. And that was very scandalous because people were complaining, I paid for the ticket. Why couldn't I get on board?
Yeah. And actually, there's another further complication to this. Tony, I mean, when you look at a country with a population of more than 1.4 billion, I think that's closely where we're at right now. Everything becomes congested and complicated and many different unexpected consequences and ramifications comes, even with originally it could be a pretty good and decent policy. There's just one more thing I think we need to explain here. That is, not only is there this issue of people buying ticket, people wanting to get to A to Z, but only buying initially the ticket from A to B so they can get on board. But there's also this notion of a standing ticket or a standing room only ticket, a 站票. So that's almost like, yeah, you get the ticket to get on board, but you don't have a seat. You would be standing all this way. And guess what? The best part of all of this, it is sold at full price.
You know, I have some experience with this standing ticket.
You had experience.
Yes, I didn't have it per se like myself, but when I was on my way to Harbin last year, I saw a lot of people standing, and it's not exactly a short trip from here to Harbin, but a lot of people had to stand. And so this national holiday, actually, I went to Jiangxi province.
Did you get a ticket back to Beijing?
I did. I was lucky.
Oh, Tony, you
got it. How did you get it?
I went to Nanchang, actually.
Oh, and, okay.
I got my ticket like really early in September, like the first couple of days. And even then, a lot of tickets were sold out.
Lai Ming was trying to do the same.
I was
Tony,
trying to do the
you
same.
You grabbed his ticket.
So, but to get there, I had to, you know, take a day of my work day, take it off and actually to get a ticket because everything was sold out. Initially, I bought a standby or a ticket where I would have to stand. And I remember there was poor passengers in Harbin and I was like, okay, I don't want to do that. I don't want to stand for 8 or 9 hours. So I eventually canceled that ticket because I didn't want to. And another problem that I had when I was on the train was every time I got up to use the bathroom, sometimes and then someone would just sit in my seat.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had to kind of show them my ticket and convince them like, hey, this is my seat. And then they would eventually get up or, you know, so it was just a lot of confusion and I wanted to avoid. So I canceled that. I guess you can call it a standing ticket. It's not a standby ticket, which is a bit different.
I found myself in a similar position to the passengers Tony observed on the way to Beijing, from Beijing to Harbin. I studied in Shanghai for 4 years. My hometown was in Jiangxi province, not particularly a first-tier city within Jiangxi province like Nanchang, but a small city. So there was only one train connecting Shanghai and my hometown every day. So I think at least for twice during winter holidays, that was the times when it was most hard to get a ticket. I spent twice on standing. I stood all the way from Shanghai to my hometown, like 18 hours, go to and for between my hometown and Shanghai. I've been there, and that's not even the worst, because there are people who are nice to you. They look at you, they feel that you've been too tired standing up, they will share their seats with you. And oftentimes when you are so lucky to have the seat, you look at other people who were standing, you felt obligated to sort of let them relax a little bit and sit in your seat. And then comes the awkward moment when you are too tired standing on your own, and then you feel a little almost ashamed to ask the seat back from whoever is apparently enjoying the seat out of your generosity. So a lot of many awkward situations, and there are also situations where you have to sort of crawl all your way back to the lavatory top of people who were sleeping under the seats.
Sleeping under the seats.
Mm. And there are also cases where the lavatory, the toilet, was occupied by passengers who didn't have a seat.
So
in that case, you just have to withhold drinking any liquid
yeah, well,
throughout the trip.
I do the same when I'm on the highway, if I'm driving during those busy National Week holidays too. And yeah, you just don't want to stop by the, you know, bathroom breaks because there's just not many, there's just not room for you even to, you know, get into the resting stops, so to speak.
Right.
But yeah, like this, Lai Ming, thanks for sharing all that. And wow, 18 hours standing?
18 hours standing.
Wow.
We were young. We were with...
You had sturdy thighs.
I was with a few friends. We sang songs.
Okay, so I thought things would be... Hold on, singing songs? Well, there's another side of Lai Ming that I didn't know.
Yeah, there's another side of me.
Yeah, but the thing is, I thought that once we enter to this new stage of public transportation, when high-speed rail is prevalent, and it is fast. Sometimes you can get up to 380 kilometers an hour, if not more, with the high-speed rail. That is the super-fast trains these days. I thought things would get better. Plus, every seat is sold with the ticket, and I would have thought the train authorities would have a pretty good grasp of the situation, how many people get on board from A to B, A to Z, or wherever. But it seems like this time, they've kind of got things messed up. And like you guys mentioned, some guy that has the full price ticket of a seat couldn't get on board. How do you explain all this?
There's simply too much demand and there's not enough supply of seats, either on regular slow speed trains or on high speed trains. The demand is so huge to the point that it is distorted in ways that we just mentioned. Some people who want to travel from A to Z because they couldn't get the ticket, they chose to go from A to B and then pay for the extra stops along the way. And so it is in this way, there's another example. For instance, there are people who want to go from C to Z, but since there are only a limited number of tickets going from C to Z, they would go, for instance, try and get ticket from A to Z. So there are all kinds of ways people try to take advantage of the system and try to get hold, get a space on the trains. Therefore, the demand has been distorted in this regard, making it impossible, almost impossible, for the railway authorities to sort of have an idea of what the real demand is. I mean, exactly how many trains should I have running from A to Z?
I think this is a very difficult situation. I have a little bit of experience in the, you know, public transportation system, and you're dealing with people, two important aspects of someone's life. You're dealing with their time and their money. And I did a little bit of time in the airline industry, and I've seen people get so angry and irate, throwing coffee at some of the customer service representatives, and it was just... It's a really intense time, especially during the holidays. People need to get where they want to go. And I can understand the frustration of paying for a ticket to go somewhere and not being able to get there because it's oversold, because this tends to be something that happens a lot in the airline industry. So I think that the standby system works pretty good in that a lot of passengers are briefed at the beginning, where they let them know that there's a possibility that you may not be able to get where you want to go. Of course, if there's seats available, then by all means you'll get there. But if there's any changes, then you're going to have to get off of the plane.
Okay, Tony, could you please explain a bit more what a standby ticket or this system is? Because I don't think we have it here in China. We only have the standing ticket.
Right. Well, standby, it's where the seats are not actually available at the time when you purchase the ticket, but there's a possibility that people will not show up. Or if you are a member of some organization where you can get a discounted ticket and you're not paying as much as everyone else, then you will have the option to get on if that seat is available. And I feel that when a lot of passengers are briefed on this before the flight, that there's a possibility that they may not be able to to make the flight, it calms a lot of people. They realize they have to make other arrangements just in case things don't work out. And so I think that perhaps this system could be implemented in that people have the awareness that they may not be able to make it where they need to go and that they may need to make some other prior arrangements, which is hard in the national holiday, you know, time, especially in China, where a lot of, you know, transportation is booked.
Okay, but, so the standby ticket would cost less, right? Not necessarily, because I remember, was it a year ago when there was this huge controversy with United Airlines when this Asian American passenger was brutally pulled off the flight because there was some... initially, they said there was an oversell of tickets, but later on, it was other issues. Apparently, they transported personnel that they had some airline workers that had to board the flight. So anyhow, so there is this intense scenario sometimes when the ticket issue is really, like Tony has mentioned, it touches that sensitive nerve for people, especially when they really need to get somewhere during the holiday time.
And I think that that's a classic case of not informing the passenger that this ticket is standby and that this flight is overbooked and that you could possibly not be able to make the flight. And that does happen, unfortunately, where passengers are convinced that they have a confirmed seat and they don't.
Okay.
And so when they do get to the ticket counter, they're furious. And sometimes they have to be escorted out by security because, missing this flight is not an option for, you know, for a number of reasons.
Yeah.
So it seems like it's a worldwide phenomenon in all areas of transportation, unfortunately.
Yeah, I think that fury is shared by everybody who can
even totally
picture yourself in that situation. Liming, I think you're very understanding of the train authorities and, of course, I suppose the realities of China when you've got such a big population. But here I would be super critical, I'd say, that because this is the reality that the train authorities are dealing with every day.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand it's hard for you guys, but isn't it kind of your job and you do this every day to come up with an emergency plan as such, if you suddenly get this overflowing of passengers, or now you know there is this situation that on these fast, high-speed rail trains, that there is a 20% of extra overload they can take of passengers. Anything exceeding that would cause danger to the train and everybody on it. So if you know there is this threshold, then is there possible that come up with a better solution instead of waiting until there are passengers that simply can't get on the train when they've bought the ticket or having to usher people out when they have not gotten the right ticket?
What would you have the railway authorities do? Do you want them to sort of, like the United Airlines did, sort of forcefully remove people who are not supposed to be on board the trains? Is that what you want nowadays in the age of smartphones and online streaming websites? I mean, whatever you do, you get live streamed over the internet and suddenly a scandal is triggered.
Yeah.
And that's certainly not going to look nice for the railway authorities. That's not going to look nice for the passengers who's being bothered like by that. And what I still would like to, I've always been a victim of the railway system in this country, living in, coming from a small county in Jiangxi province and working in Beijing. Still, I'd like to stand behind the railway authorities. It is just simply hard to anticipate the demand for their services. Because China is a country with an unevenly distributed population. I think I could be wrong, but I think more than three quarters of China's population is concentrated in the southeastern coastal regions. So that also happens to be the regions with the most intense economic activities. People travel around much more often than people, say, in my hometown, from my hometown to Beijing. So the pressure, the immense pressure on the railway authorities is, well, as you can imagine, very huge. And then couple that with the fact that the demand is always increasing. Actually, we have figures. During the seven-day holiday this year, the national railway system has sent more than 130 million passengers, a year-on-year increase of 10.8%. Now, when we talk about infrastructure and infrastructure building, we know that it takes time. It's not like, oh, I make a plan to build a railway and you play it like a boy plays with stacks. I mean, you can lay it within one day. It's going to take a couple of years. And even today, people in my hometown are talking about a railway station to be constructed in my hometown. But we are looking at perhaps 5 years. And maybe in 5 years, we'll be able to enjoy that service. And even so, with that railway, it's going to connect from Chongqing all the way to Xiamen. In other words, it's going from west to east. It's not going from south to north.
Right. So it doesn't fill your personal demand so much.
It doesn't fill my personal demand, but still for people will find a way. I mean, Chinese people are very smart. Like in my case, we found a way. For instance, I could sort of hop on the high speed train, travel the way to Changsha, and then perhaps in Changsha, Hunan province, I could take high speed train to Beijing. So it's because the Changsha is a transportation hub, and there are much more trains. So people will find a way. And also, when it comes to infrastructure, we sort of take it for granted that when we build roads, it will accommodate more needs, but we often forget that when we have better infrastructure, there is stronger demand. Mm. When previously it was hard for, say, people of my hometown to travel to Beijing, there may not have been as many people working in Beijing. They could just have chosen to sort of work in Shenzhen, in Guangdong, in Guangzhou, the city. I mean, not a lot of people will travel to Beijing. But now with perhaps in the near future, with high-speed trains connecting my hometown to Beijing, there's got to be more people traveling. Mm-hmm. And so it's very hard for the railway authorities to catch up with, especially when it is easy for us to travel one time from Beijing to my hometown, but it's hard to lay the lines between the two cities.
Mm. Mm. I think you raised a really good point there, especially with the year-on-year increase of 10.8%, which is quite a bit.
That's insane, huh?
Yeah, and I think that, you know, prior to 2018, I'm sure there were similar situations where people had issues and, you know, trouble getting where they needed to go. But perhaps this year was the breaking point. And I think sometimes incidents, unfortunate as they are, they have to happen sometimes to get some things moving, to get some substantial change going on, especially for, you know, this type of issue, because I would like to see something different. I love traveling here in China, but it seems every national holiday, it's really tough to get a ticket and be able to get somewhere. So unfortunately, I think that this is kind of a good thing, and that maybe there will be some new policies implemented where people will definitely, when they buy their ticket, they'll indeed not have to worry about getting it.
With big data mining, I mean, telling which passenger is going from which point to what point, then they'll be able to anticipate the demand more precisely than we are doing now.
Yeah, and also, I still think that the train authorities should be doing their math better. I'm going to hold this my ground here that, yeah, there's a lot of data that's coming in right now. And then there's one part of public policy making that is called, I think, rational decision making. There's a whole realm of science that goes into that that can make it smarter for policymakers to come up with policy that addresses these issues that people feel every year around that time. You're listening to Roundtable. We'll be back after this short break. Stay with us.